Good morning, Grand Forks. And this is Icky Ichabod's Weird Wrestling live from Grand Forks Best Source. I'm Icky Ichabod, and tonight you're going to get your railroad spikes, barbed wire bats, glass shards, and chainsaws ready for this show because we're going to be talking about Hardcore Wrestlers Volume 2. And we have some great wrestlers on our show today. But before we do that, we have to have a shout out to our friends at River Cinema 15 in the Shire Bar and Grill. Make the River Cinema 15 in the Shire Bar and Grill your next dinner and a movie destination in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. Either dine inside the movie memorabilia packed restaurant, the Shire, or take your meal to the movie you're attending. Some of this week's featured attractions are Shrek 2 20th Anniversary, The First Omen, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and Kung Fu Panda 4. Find the complete showtimes online at rivercinema15.com. Don't forget about the Tuesday $5 movie special all day long and the $5.50 senior matinee special on Wednesdays and Thursdays. The River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages and is a family-owned and operated. So, well, you know, Dale's coming on right now.
Yeah, you know, I guess speaking of the River Cinema 15 and the Shire, I was just there last weekend. I saw that big new early summer blockbuster film, Civil War. Really, really good stuff. So, it's luxury recliners, good stuff. Love, and actually, we saw our commercial there at River Cinema 15 before the movie started. So, yeah, love our friends at River Cinema 15.
Yes, we do.
So,
and the wizard's taking a break because I fell and almost broke my wrist this weekend. So
yikes! Well, remind me, I got some. I sprained my wrist a couple years ago. I'll show you a few exercises. I went and then and got checked out. Got some hand therapy, and that definitely helped me out. I'll show you after we wrap up here. So hopefully. As I say, ice and rehab, as I say, for any of the injuries, as it goes with wrestling. Ice and rehab, as our good buddy DDP likes to say also.
Yes. And these wrestlers on today are definitely going to need a lot of ice and a lot of rehab.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So, Icky, you see people watching the video version, you're focusing on four or technically five wrestlers today. You got which one would you like to start with?
Let's start with the hardcore legend himself, middle-aged and crazy.
Terry Funk. If I remember right, he's always been one of your favorites.
Always has. I really liked how he was fighting Sabu in XPW. He was on Rob Black's side.
What are some of your earliest Terry Funk memories?
The fire chair.
Was that an ECW one? Or?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, yeah, of course, XPW. And I remember him being in the... Hell in a Cell, he got choke slammed out of his shoes by The Undertaker.
Yeah, I think some of my earliest memories from Terry Funk were probably Chainsaw Charlie. That was the first time I remember seeing him as I was watching wrestling live.
Do you remember the Sabu Terry Funk barbed wire match from ECW?
I ended up tracking that down on those old Pioneer ECW DVDs, and that one was like, they kind of had to go to an impromptu, like, weird-looking pinfall because the wrestlers, both of them got so tangled up in barbed wire, right?
Yeah.
And they had to, like, clip them out of it pretty much, right?
Yes.
That was a pretty gruesome match.
I really like this stuff he did in Japan, though, against Mick Foley. I think, if I remember right, he teamed with Mr. Pogo, who we talked about last time.
Terry Funk is, bar none, one of the most hardcore guys I know. I ended up watching so much of his career over the years through DVDs and YouTube. Some, like, even for WCW, NWA, he brought hardcore there to a new level. He did, like, I believe, I want to say it's, like, one of the first table spots for WCW on TV against, I think it was in Ric Flair, that iconic I Quit match. Super hardcore, and, it was just super intense, and you saw a whole new side of Terry Funk, because before he got kind of middle-aged and crazy, as they like to say in the announcer days, he was like your traditional NWA touring champion, technical wrestler, before he got all hardcore in Japan.
You know, FMW was really inspired by Terry Funk, because Atsushi Onita, one of the owner of there, used to be a wrestler, and he used to be a high flyer, but then he like broke his leg really bad, and he decided to make a really hardcore promotion. But I think if I remember right, Terry Funk brought Atsushi Onita to Puerto Rico because in Puerto Rico it's just nuts.
Yeah. World Wrestling Council, yeah, those guys, riots will go will happen in the ring if the fans aren't happy. And then there's the infamous Bruiser Brody thing too. That's a whole nother story.
I heard that they used to throw like urine at people.
No, yes, that I've heard so many stories. That could be a whole nother show if I dive into and look up some research and have some examples for you there. But what are some other crazy Terry Funk hardcore memories?
I saw a match in Japan where Terry Funk was wrestling Cactus Jack, and he like power slams him onto a exploding barbed wire board. I thought it was funny.
Well,
there was an explosion.
Funny, he exploded. He could have died, Icky.
There was a match in Japan in FMW where it was an exploding ring match. I believe it was Cactus Jack, Masada Tanaka, I believe, Terry Funk, and
Masada Tanaka.
Mr. Pogo. And it was an exploding ring match, and everyone's like running, and the timer's going down to zero. Terry Funk looks one way, looks the other way, looks that way. He can't get out of the ring in time, he realizes. So he just covers his head in the center of the ring. And this is not like the stupid exploding ring match in AEW. This was an actual exploding ring match.
Or they got the pyrotechnics right.
Yes.
There's just so many Terry Funk hardcore examples. I thought he gave credence to ECW when they went extreme after being Eastern Championship Wrestling, and he really, really just embraced that hardcore style for the North American market. Just all those, and he ended up winning the ECW World Title there. And then I think my favorite ECW memory of Terry Funk was when him and Cactus Jack were wrestling, and they encouraged the crowd to throw chairs in the ring. You remember that? And they ended
all the chairs are flying into the ring.
The ring was flooded with chairs, and I think you see the referee hiding under a rope, just ducking his head under his hands, like just what a great memory.
Before we talk about someone else. Remember, I talked about it earlier, but the fire chair, because Cactus Jack used to do this thing called the fire chair, mm-hmm. and he would put a rag on a chair and light it on fire. Well, apparently the fire chair, when he swung it at Terry Funk, the rag flew off and landed on his back.
Oh no!
And Terry Funk's like running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Terry Funk. So one last quick memory. The original ECW One Night Stand, I think it was like kind of like the last hurrah for the hardcore legend side of Terry Funk, where he teamed up with Cactus Jack to take on the Sandman and Tommy Dreamer in the main event of the show. And it was just like one last hurrah for the extreme hardcore days for both those guys.
I miss ECW like horribly. Even ECW 2.0 is better than ECW.
The way that ended up is it pretty much way that ECW 2.0 wound up is pretty much ended up being like the precursor to the NXT we know and love today. But who do you want to focus on next, Icky?
What? Since we're talking about fire, I have a story about the Sheik, who is the next person that we're going to talk about. We're not talking the Iron Sheik, because there have been a few Sheiks. We're talking about Sabu's uncle, the Sheik.
That's right.
Who trains Sabu and Rob Van Dam.
And that's actually him in black and white there in the background. Yeah, at a quick glance, that does look like Sabu, but you know, they're blood related.
Their uncle. He's his uncle.
Yep.
And I think if I remember, his name was Terry Brunk or something like that.
Well, he was really big. The original Sheik, his home territory was in Michigan.
Yeah.
I believe it was Big Time Wrestling or Big Top Wrestling. I get the
exactly,
two mixed up.
Yeah.
It's one of those two in the Michigan territory. And that's where he was huge with a hardcore style.
Well, there was a match in Puerto Rico with the Sheik. And if I remember right, Terry Funk was in it and Atsushi Onita was in it. And anyways, they have a flaming rope match, which is probably one of the dumbest things you can do.
Which what's dumber, the flaming rope match or the inferno match?
Are you talking about the Inferno match from WWE?
Yep.
That was stupid.
Both are up there, huh?
But anyways, as it goes, he actually burnt 65% of the skin off of his back in that match. And then like 2 months later, he goes into the hospital with smoke inhalation injuries. And after that, they said, we will never do another flaming rope match ever again.
Yeah, you know, I saw the Sheik. I've been catching up on the Dark Side of the Ring episodes the last few weeks. And he was featured on the episode with Abdullah the Butcher. He was his protege. He kind of showed him the ropes to kind of take over the territory after the Sheik hung it up. And it kind of had a big rivalry to kind of pass the torch.
I like Abdullah the Butcher. I think he was originally in the storyline in XPW for the person to face Sabu, but it didn't wind out, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, Abdullah Butcher is another hardcore legend, and yeah, the Sheik, you know, what a protege to pick to kind of hand down the reins to for main event.
Well, Abdullah the Butcher, at first I thought his character would be kind of like funny and things like that, you know, and I just thought it was just a nickname, but then I saw him like stab the guy with the fork in the head.
Yeah, that's right. His big thing was a fork.
So.
Any like certain standout matches for the Sheik that's that really?
I really haven't seen much Sheik matches. I have his book at home. It's a pretty good book. I also have his nephew's book, Sabu's book, Blood, Sweat, and Super Glue. I think it's called.
Are they both autobiographies? Then?
Yeah,
both,
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, I'll look into those.
I can loan them to you.
Oh yeah, you've loaned me some ones before. I just got a couple more like the past week. Ronda Rousey's and Becky Lynch's books came out within a week of each other. I just got those. Yeah.
And then I loaned you Moxley.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
a really good
Tyrus.
Book. Hey, that could be a good future episode. Wrestling books are favorites.
Okay.
I think we both. I'll have to put that in the ideas here.
That would be a good idea.
I've read so many wrestling books.
Mick Foley's books were great too.
Yes.
We'll be talking about Mick Foley here in a second. Anyways.
Do you want to focus on to a different wrestler here?
Let's do Mick Foley.
Mick Foley.
Cactus Jack. Mankind. Dude Love.
Three faces of
Mick
Foley.
Foley. Well, yeah. There was four because
if you count his real self, yeah.
I love Mick Foley. And he's a good guy, actually. He does a lot of donations and a lot of like charity work. And
I've read all, you know, speaking of books, I've read all four Mick Foley autobiographies. He wrote four autobiographies. Isn't that's insane. Yeah, behind this, it's just exactly like you said, Ichabod. Everyone you talk to in the interviews behind the scenes, you see Mick Foley in person. He's like a lovable, cuddly teddy bear. Everyone loves him, and like I remember all the female wrestlers loved him. He was like their favorite back in like the Attitude Era. Yeah.
Well, he probably wasn't a misogynistic pig, unlike some of them.
Well, there are so many stories from the Attitude Era. So yeah, that's a whole nother story. But what are some of your favorite hardcore memories for Mick Foley that come to mind?
Well,
besides the ones you already hit with Terry Funk there.
I like Hell in a Cell.
I think that's the go-to example. What a classic.
What about the...
What resonated with you about it, the Hell in a Cell? That's well worth going into a little bit.
Well, the use of thumbtacks.
I think that was the debut of thumbtacks on WWE television.
Probably.
As a weapon, anyways, yeah.
Well, you know, and then that's a great match itself, but the street fight with Triple H...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the month before his retirement, because he did that in January of 2000 at the Royal Rumble. Then the month after that, he followed it up with his retirement match, the Hell in a Cell with Triple H, two back-to-back, hardcore, gritty matches. And I think, you know, the main thing, too, just to jump back a little bit, in that Hell in a Cell match with Undertaker, he went through the top of the cell. And
a chair landed his face.
I remember reading from his books and in interviews later that the chair landing on him was what knocked out his tooth. They give that iconic camera shot where you see his tooth jammed up his nose. And And he said that if that chair would have landed just a little ways, that could have been way more fatal than him going through the cell and landing on the ring instead.
Well, then he landed on the announcer's booth, too.
Yeah, Undertaker tossed him off there. I mean, it was some revolutionary spots in the North America market for 1998.
Well, I like when they said, oh, they killed him, he's dead.
Yeah, Jim Ross had some legendary calls, yeah. That's it, he's dead. Or, I swear to God, he is broken in half. What some of the best Jim Ross calls of all time.
Well, you know, Mick Foley actually retired, but then he went to TNA for a while.
Yeah, I actually read his last autobiography, Countdown to Lockdown, is all about his, besides, it's a lot of his charity work is in there, too, some really great stuff there, too, but his wrestling side is focused on his TNA days. And he said he regrets doing those. He said he just couldn't get in the right shape for it, and it was, says definitely some of his lesser work.
Well, you know, it's really funny. You know who reminds me of Mick Foley from TNA?
Who's
Abyss.
That? Abyss? Yeah, I think that could be a... That's a very apt comparison because Abyss, you know, with his complete setup, it's kind of very similar to the original Mankind look.
Yeah.
And I want to say for a favorite hardcore memory for me of Mankind, besides obviously the Hell in a Cell and those Terry Funk memories, there are so many, and those Triple H examples are great too. But I think another one that really, really comes to mind is, I guess, you know, I'm thinking more of his comedy hijinks in WWE, but those...
Mr. Socko.
Yeah, Mr. Socko are just, or... You know, here's a good one. His feud with Steve Austin being the first challenger for Steve Austin for his WWE title, those back-to-back pay-per-views in 98, Over the Edge and Backlash. Those were some awesome, awesome matches. maybe I had a few chuckles, but you remember one? That's when he wrestled as Dude Love, actually.
Dude, you know, I was going to say something about Dude Love.
Yeah.
I did not like Dude Love.
But he did do the iconic hardcore leap from the roof in that back in his homemade movie.
Well, that was a movie called The Loved One that Mick Foley made when he was in high school. And it was actually after his girlfriend called him Jack Foley. It's like, I've been dating you and you don't even know my name, basically.
I thought of a good hardcore Cactus Jack memory. It was when WCW actually went all out with a street fight brawl. No DQ, anything goes, and actually did some very creative weapon spots where it was him, and this was a wrestler named Max Payne, not the video game character. The wrestler Max Payne actually sued Rockstar Games for the naming rights, and he actually got a huge settlement deal out of it. But they teamed up against the Nasty Boys. And it was like the Nasty Boys only like legit good match in their career, or at least one of the few anyways. But well, yeah, really good hardcore brawl from like the 94 Spring Stampede pay-per-view.
We're going to be talking about a pair of brothers next.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and one last one. We're talking about inventive and first for Cactus Jack in WWE. You already mentioned the thumbtacks. He brought those on WWE TV for the first time.
Barbed wire.
Yeah, the barbed wire bat. Another one, I want to say, I could be wrong, but I believe he did the first table spot on WWE TV. He did a hardcore brawl with Triple H back when he was still Hunter Hearst Helmsley in like the summer of 97, and he did a pile driver through the table.
I remember that. I've seen that.
I believe that is the first table spot, the first of hundreds and hundreds of table spots in WWE.
Yeah.
So do you want to focus on the brothers here next?
The brothers, you said the Nasty Boys.
I got it in your
mind.
They
look like the Nasty Boys.
Yeah, we got them there on the background there. At a glance, they do look like the Nasty Boys.
They used to be a tag team called the Bad Brood.
Bad Brood. But better known as?
The Brothers Rotten.
Ian and Axel.
Yes, and they are two really hardcore guys. Basically, they had a tag team together, but then they turned on each other, and they had one of the most violent matches in ECW history, which was the Taipei Death Match. And for those of you who don't know what a Taipei Death Match is, you basically dip your hands in super glue.
Well, their hands were taped. It wasn't like they dipped their actual hands in super glue. that would be bad.
The hands are taped, and they dip them in super glue, and then they dip them in glass. And Bill Alfonso tried to stop the Taipei Deathmatch for blood. And they're going, you can't stop a Taipei Deathmatch for blood.
Yeah, that's the only match I've seen them in ECW on those best of DVDs. And yeah, that was a very gruesome match. I mean, it wasn't a technical masterpiece by any means. It was more of a straight up just smash mouth brawl that got very, very gruesome.
Well, Ian, if I remember right, works for or owned IWA South.
Yeah, that Taipei death match, that's the only memory I have of the Rons, but it is, if you track, it's probably on YouTube, track it down. Yeah, it's memorable. Do you have any other memories from the Rottens?
Yeah, I remember like when Axel Rotten was like in XPW, he always used to wear this Marilyn Manson shirt all the time. And he was, like, as I said earlier, he was supposed to fight Terry Funk in XPW, but then he just left. So.
Yeah, yeah. Are you all caught up on all your XPW DVDs?
Some of it. Oh, I think I got one disc.
I'm keeping an eye out because I think you only got one volume left to get, right?
The third volume, yeah.
That one is had such a low print run, it goes for a lot online. But if I ever see it for a good deal, I will make sure to snatch it up for you.
I love XPW, and you know, it's good to talk about hardcore, but there's a couple people I'd like to shout out to. We're not going to really talk about them. Yeah. Balls Mahoney, Spike Dudley,
LSD,
and Combat Mother Toyota from FMW, and who else? I knew I had another one. I can't think of it right now. But
so, any other final thoughts on this installment for Volume 2 of Hardcore Legends?
Not really. I think we've covered what we need to cover.
Yeah, you know, we ran down a lot of just classic moments with these hardcore legends here. The great thing about YouTube is you can track down almost all these matches or clips from them on YouTube, pretty much. Or if you have the, Peacock, you go to the WWE channel on Peacock and you can just do a search on any of these wrestlers, and you're bound to find at least highlights from them in any of their promotions that WWE has rights to. So,
well, you know, if you want to check out some good hardcore wrestling, check out FMW, Big Japan Wrestling is another one. Combat Zone, Game Changer is really good.
Yeah, Game Changer. They're pretty much the modern day ECW.
Yeah. And for local stuff, check out Time Bomb.
Yeah, great. Yeah, they pretty much put their entire cards on their YouTube channel now, like a few weeks after they happen. So that's how I keep up with them. But, well, you ready to wrap things up here with executive properties?
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Diane says Executive Properties did a roof project and remodeled a bathroom in our house. We were happy with their quality of work, and the projects were completed in a timely manner. We will use Executive Properties for our next home project. Get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273.
All right. Well, we have a treat for you next week, especially if you like video games. If I can find a copy of it, we are going to review the James Bond movie GoldenEye. So stay weird, Grand Forks.